From WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It's Friday night at last, and we're joined by singer-songwriter and American traveler Ellis Paul.
If I fell out on my knees, if I came to pleading, would you take me as I am? Your touch is all I need. Bring me courage, bring me change. Show me oxygen and rain. We'll build a shelter in these arms if this love should come to harm. Do you know who I am? I put a little faith in me. If you need some space on a shoulder, why do we fall so fast? Are you afraid of your shatter, that your heart's made of glass? Just give in, give up, you can't get ready for it. Give in, give up, just get ready for it. I'm whispering your name, your colors in the rain. Bells are ringing in this town, women walk in wedding gowns. And if you fear your bones may break from all the heartache, the dance comes down at us. Every love will bring a risk. And the colors we choose are yellows and blues. Let's paint a sky on.
Troubadour has an old, old ring to it. We think lutes and 12th century poet musicians traveling from town to town, entertaining and collecting stories from the folk. But we still have our troubadours. Replace the lute with an acoustic guitar, make it new, make it America, and you've got Ellis Paul, one of the country's hottest contemporary folk singers. He travels this country north, south, east, west, doing over 150 shows a year. And on the road, he does more than entertain. Ellis Paul is a born observer and storyteller. His lyrics and poetry are filled with musings from his travels that don't candy coat. Songs of inspiration and hope, songs of hard life, alcoholism, guns, and the struggle for faith in times of confusion. Ellis Paul's first great journey was out of the northern Maine potato farm where he grew up and into the world. Music soon took over, and today Ellis Paul is considered one of folk music's most influential voices. He has a new CD out called The Speed of Trees. His first book, Notes from the Road, is a collection of observations and lyrics from across America. Welcome, Ellis Paul.
Thanks for having me, Tom. Boy, I sound pretty good there.
don't you sound
thanks
great.
For dressing me up.
Listen,
like that. That sounds cool,
I
man.
Have to tell you, you sound especially good on the Friday night of this week. It's been a long week. It's been an emotionally draining week, quite a journey. And I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to just sit back with you today and let that flow over us, maybe think about it a little bit. But Ellis Paul, it's just great to have you in the studio.
It's good to be here.
Right on your guitar, staring me in the face, it says Anti-Terror Machine. What's that about?
Well, you know, I wrote that on the guitars with a permanent marker, and it's it ain't coming off.
It doesn't look like it will.
I did that in Iowa during an interview I was doing out there. We were talking about what music is, and it was right after the 11th last year. And it hit me in Afghanistan. The Taliban had banned music, Western mm-hmm. music especially, mm-hmm. But music entirely, and put musicians in jail and ended up destroying a lot of instruments, hanging from trees in the streets to make sure everybody knew that, you know, anything that was going to be confiscated was going to mm-hmm. be destroyed. And it hit me, you know, why would they do that? It's like almost taking water away from their own people. And music is such a vital thing for the enjoyment of life.
For all of us.
Yeah, not even just playing it, but hearing it. And it hit me that, you know, music is a conveyor of information and public change and social change. And you get, 40, 50,000 people memorizing a song about revolution, and revolution happens.
It is in the air.
Yeah, and I think that's why they put the stamp on it. So I wrote Anti-Terror Machine and let people know that, you know, music is exactly what all that stuff isn't. And it's been good. I haven't had to explain it. Every show, I just wanted to leave it on the guitar, and if people ask me,
it just about speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Ellis Paul, because of all your travels, and because you're an artist, and because you live in this world in a way that really is north, south, east, and west in our American world, the way you see and feel and respond to the world is of particular interest, the way you interpret it. How has your week been? We've all been through this incredible week with all the memories of a year ago and everything on television, everything in print and radio. Reliving, sometimes feeling like enforced solemnity, and then all of a sudden, when you wanted to be jaundiced, it just, I don't know about you, but it just broke over me in waves some days and left me almost speechless.
Yeah.
How's your week been?
Well, it's been difficult because I just put this record out, and having to do my job and work for the record label and everyone that is helping me out and pushing my music out to people at the same time the anniversary is taking place has been very awkward, you know. And
so the troubadour is working even when the history marches on.
Yeah, you know, I feel like a capitalist. And so that's a bit of a weird thing. But the beautiful thing is that everyone's carrying their emotions just beneath the surface. And I think all of us, you know, you read the stories in the papers or hear them on the radio or on the television, and you're brought to tears immediately. And it's great to be in touch with your internal self like that. It's a little bit refreshing to know that, you know, you can be moved like that a year later and be affected just like we were back then. And
there's an ocean of emotion there.
Yeah.
We're so glad to have you to give us music tonight and take us right on beyond that, or to help us put it in a context that's bigger. Ellis Paul's new album is called The Speed of Trees. I'd love it if you played for us If You Break Down. It seemed to speak to this week, to this moment for me.
Sure, this is it here. If you come to a day where you wish the clocks would roll backwards and cover a night, you're asking stars to stay, begging satellites to stop, to help you to remember how to picture the world before everything had changed. Well, if you break down, I'm at your shoulder. I will tell you over and over, a reliable sound is coming around if you break down. Mm-hmm. fear comes without invitation and lays its hand in the green of your tired eyes. If it's paralyzing, I will wake you. We will walk 1,000 paces. Walk away, walk away, till you're walking on your own. But if you break down, I'm at your shoulder. Take me at my word. You can break down, I will tell you. A reliable sound is coming around if you break down. If you break.
Paul singing If You Break Down from his new album, The Speed of Trees. And there's a comforting song, if everybody needed a comforting song. And what a great lyric, Ellis Paul. You wrote, you're asking the stars to stay, begging satellites to stop, and help you to remember how to picture the world before everything had changed. When did you write the song?
Well, you know, it has nothing to do with September 11th. It's just like everybody's carrying these different ears now, and you write a song, and it could be as simple. It's just a simple love song saying, mm-hmm. I'm going to be there. My girlfriend was having some pretty serious back surgery, and she was worried about it. I just said, you know, just be worried about it. Feel free to break down, fall apart. It's all right. You got people around you who will pick you up, and you know, we'll dust you off, and then you can walk away.
It's a message we always need, no matter what goes on.
Yeah, and in light of, you know, the firemen, and I got, you know, now I'm hearing it with these ears, these 9/11 ears that we're all carrying, and it's a completely different piece of music. And it's a beautiful thing, you know. Everyone listens according to their own lives, and one of the benefits of going through something as a whole country is that we're all sharing the same experience, you know, we're sharing this emotional experience that happened to us.
Terrible and unifying. And all with those 9/11 ears, as you call it. Ellis Paul, we've got to take a short break. We're talking tonight with troubadour, folk singer Ellis Paul. He's got a new album, The Speed of Trees. We're going to go into the break listening to When We Begin. I love this, from The Speed of Trees. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
From Boston University, this is double.
and Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight with singer-songwriter Ellis Paul here from his new album, The Speed of Trees, is Breaking Through the Radio.
Have you ever heard of the magazines? A band out of New Orleans. They broke in Chicago, shaking the walls of every kid in the suburbs. I lived in my thumb up to the old highway, carving names across the USA, chasing a rock band, chasing the ghosts of a king in Graceland. Set me free. There's nothing but highway in front of me, Louisiana bayou, thunderstorms in Tennessee. Set me free. There's nothing behind me but history. I greeted everything I needed to know. Was breaking through the radio. I hitched a ride down to Tupelo, where the caravan of gypsy souls dancing in moonshine. Every song pulled me in like a lifeline and set me free. Every time I greeted, everything I needed to know was breaking through the radio. Radio. Georgia, ain't it good to be where everyone knows you? Set me free. There's nothing but highway in front of me. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up on the magazine. Set me free. There's nothing behind me but history. Every town I greeted, everything I needed.
Ellis Paul singing Breaking Through the Radio from his new album, The Speed of Trees. And I read the lyrics earlier, Ellis, and I have to ask you, you know, this is the classic kind of American moment. You're barreling down the road in the car, and it's open road, and the tunes are coming through the radio. And as your lyric has it, you know, set me free, nothing behind me but history, everything I need to know, breaking through the radio. That is a classic American moment, a classic American situation, that freedom, that, hey, history's just behind me, whatever. Is there an expiration date on that, Mr. Troubadour? Do we always get to have that, given everything that's coming down? We're told it's a new world. We're told everything's changing. Are we always entitled? Do we always get to have that open road, that free American thing that everyone loves to sing about and you sing about so well?
Well, it's there in all of our lives if we want to take it. Unfortunately, responsibilities weigh you down and restrict your freedom. You have kids, you get married, you get a job. Suddenly, you're not 20 anymore. And the song is about, you know, somebody who's young and just experiencing that. I mean, it's the highway can be like a drug when you're 20. It's like it's this euphoric, you know, it's an amazing thing. And when you attach freedom with to music as sort of the carpet that you ride on, it can be a really beautiful thing. And then, you know, there are people that just never get off the highway. They just travel following bands and chasing little icons on the road.
Right.
And
but that moment has always felt like an American birthright. And sometimes in this last year, I've wondered if history is catching up with us a little bit, if the car is still staying ahead of history. I hope so.
Because
that's, in a way, the American dream. That's the paradise. yet, you know, that car's burning a lot of oil that comes out of Saudi or somewhere.
Well, yeah, you know, we're going to have to get solar powered cars if we keep on going like this. But it's nice to see people out on the highway still, like, chasing bands, and I'm playing in Texas sooner. I know that I'm going to have 3 or 4 crazy carloads of people going to every show, and you know, it's a very beautiful thing.
Ellis, tell us about your story out of northern Maine. You grew up on a potato farm there, and anybody who grows up on a farm, I've got a deep connection to. I grew up on a farm myself in the Midwest. How did you go from that setting to the big world of music, and what do you think that place of origin meant to you, means to you even now in your music?
Well, I think the small town thing is definitely, it brings a wide-eyed, observant kind of approach to life. You know, I'm just amazed all the time by people and by the things I'm seeing, the beauty of the country, the differences between the Southwest and Alaska and Florida, and against, you know, growing up in Maine in sort of a farm town. And that kind of a place really makes you appreciate the things that you see when you do bump into them. Mm.
And the music, was it always with you? Did you play guitar in high school? How did it, younger? How did you fall into it?
No, I played in band and I had music in my life, fortunately, when I was a kid like that, but I never expected, you know, if you would have told me when I was 15 I was going to be a folk singer, I would have, you know, dropped dead on the spot probably. So, what do you mean, not a doctor or a lawyer or don't tell my parents, you know? So it's kind of eased into it in college. I started playing. I was an athlete and I came down to Boston for track and field over at Boston College there, just around the corner in Chestnut Hill. And it was great, but I got injured and I had to take a year off and I had nothing to do outside of schoolwork and I really needed someplace to express myself and picked up the guitar and it became a partner in my life and it's been great ever since.
Dylan, you write that a folk singer who doesn't know Dylan inside out just isn't rooted. How important for you, Bob Dylan?
Well, very, you know, and important in that I got to know Bob Dylan's roots through Woody Guthrie and, you know, the Weavers and Pete Seeger and then Josh White and Lead Belly and all these people. I mean, Dylan was the first pop star folk singer. You know, he was the first guy who could put songs in everybody's ears that everybody knew that were still, you know, socially relevant. Mm-hmm. And he was willing to go places with songwriting that no one had gone before in pop music world. And so he's like the Shakespeare of songwriters. And, you know, in order to be a great writer, I think you have to study the people who are great at it.
You're great at it. Ellis Paul, take us into Angel in Manhattan, if you would. It's been on our minds this week, Manhattan, and you've got your own take on it here. Tell us about the song.
Well, Angel in Manhattan was written about 5 years ago about a strange night I had in Manhattan. I was sitting, going through some blue period in my life and sitting at an outdoor cafe, and my friends are there trying to cheer me up in New York. And as I was sitting there, a transvestite came up beside me on a giant tricycle. And he was a performer who had a harp attached to the back of this trike. And
what an image.
It was a weird night. And he made eye contact with me, and I made eye contact with him. And he took the harp out and played 4 or 5 songs.
And there was an angel.
Yeah, and it changed the night. It was like, you know, this person who was obviously a character very unique to himself and was managing to find his own happiness in the world by doing what he was doing. And like, what the hell did I think I was moping around when someone who obviously had to be, you know, had to go through a lot to get where he was could be so joyous with music and life. And it was a real refresher. So
An Angel in Manhattan. That's great. Let's hear it.
Tell man who repairs the wings for angels, the one is fallen among the mortals on Bleecker Street. I lent a hand, she looked up at the steeples as if to blame them for the pavement beneath her feet. She said, I never much liked flying. The job requires trying. The
hard parts avoiding buildings and concrete. Spread the news, 'cause there's an angel in Manhattan. Call out the paparazzi, call out the television crew. Let the people choose. With a little faith, come Harlem. Print the headlines up in the New York Daily News. Oh, it was just another day, like any other day, a Tuesday afternoon. I hailed a cab. A crowd gathered as it pulled beside us. And somebody tore out her wings, but I held her safely inside. I'm much obliged, she said. But the driver, he looked shaken. He said, you're faking a lady. Hey, who's taking who for a ride? But then we floated up over the traffic. She turned the radio to static. And she sang to him with Billie Holiday's sweet voice. Spread the news, 'cause there's an angel in Manhattan. Call out the paparazzi, call out the television crews, and let the people choose. With a little faith, come to Harlem. Print the headlines up in the New York Daily News. It was just another day. I wonder what the mayor would say. Good afternoon. Shook the mayor's hand. He declared that he'd hold a press conference. And the fans and protesters blocked the stairs to City Hall. I'd like to thank you all, he said. Oh, and she stepped before the cameras. Man, it felt like a trial, but she smiled as the questions were called. What do you say to detractors who claim you're just some actor? She said, the question here is, do I believe in you? Spread the news. I saw an angel fly from Manhattan in front of paparazzi, in front of television crews. And me, I'd choose. With a little faith, come to Harlem. Despite what they print in the New York Daily News, it was just another day, like any other day, like any day.
Ellis Paul's in the studio tonight. They're singing Angel in Manhattan. And Ellis Paul, I'm so glad you're here. I can use a little Angel in Manhattan this week. That is just great. Thank you for the image. Woody Guthrie, a big deal in your life. Tattooed right on your arm, I read.
Yes,
though
he
I can't
is.
See
yeah.
the tattoo. And somehow you got into the sort of lost years of Woody Guthrie and have pulled out of those years and that time. This is when he had Huntington's disease for 15 or 20 years before he died. Mm-hmm. In 67, I guess.
He died in 67, and this song was, I guess, written in 55.
This is a song called God's Promise. How did you find it? How did this come to light?
Well, I'm a huge Woody fan, and been making sort of pilgrimages out to the town that he was born in Oklahoma, Okemah, Oklahoma. And over the years, I got to know Arlo and Nora Guthrie, his kids. Mm-hmm. And Nora has all these, in the archive, there's a Woody Guthrie archive down in New York City, and she's got all these songs that don't have music to them. They're just lyrics that have been floating around. And she allowed me to come in and go through the archive with white gloves and an anthropologist, and we found seven songs or so, and she said, I'd love to hear your voice and your songs, your music with Woody's words.
And this one, God's Promise, you put to music.
Mm-hmm.
Nora wrote a letter over the summer, and she reminds us that Woody Guthrie, during this period, wrote in his diary, I never sung or made up one ballad song to entertain you. I made all of my stuff up to tell you and to educate you. I'm an educator, not an entertainer. And this song seems way up on the education
especially
level.
Especially recently, yeah.
He's got the lyric here. I didn't promise you skies painted blue, nor all the colored flowers all your days through. I didn't promise you crowns without trials, food with no hard sweat, tears without smiles. He's not necessarily going to be easy.
Yeah, yeah. But there are positive things that he gives us too. So,
yeah.
And it's all in the song. It's a great lyric, and I was really pleased with how it came out. And it's nice to co-write with Woody Guthrie. You
know? what a thing to do. We're talking tonight with Ellis Paul. We're going to go into a break listening to Woody Guthrie's lyrics, Ellis Paul's music, and performance of God's Promise. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Sure didn't say I'd give you heaven on earth, a life with no labor, no struggles, no dirt, no earthquakes, no dry spells, no fire flames, no droughts, no slaving, no hunger, no blizzards, no blight. When you fall down the bleed, I give you my peace and my strength to pull home, my love for all races, our creeds and all kinds, my flavors, my saviors, my creeds of all kinds, my love for my races, our colors, all kinds, my love for my races. A creator's all kind.
From
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm joined in studio tonight by Ellis Paul. Here's the title song from his new album, The Speed of Trees.
Sometimes in the dead of the night, I'm dreaming that I'm flying at the speed of light. In 2 seconds, I'm brushing past the face of the moon. 8 seconds flat on the surface of Mars. I'm kicking up the red dust, I'm drinking in bars. I lean back and raise a toast to the stars at night, when I'm dreaming at the speed of light. Some days I just settle for the speed of sound. Step off this porch and blow a kiss to this whole damn town. I'd let off one of them sonic booms and break all the windows in the living rooms. I'd blow off the hats of the boys at the old fairgrounds, laughing at the speed of sound. You'd say, go.
Why don't you go then? If you wanna go, why don't you decide? Pick a road and decide. Is it a train or a plane or a bride? Decide, 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 decide. Your love makes me move at the speed of trains. Lay down some roots, I've grown a head full of make-believes. But if it weren't for that face of yours, I'd be rattling windows, blowing down doors. Look at me here, I'm planted square down on my knees. Oh, on my knees. I'm asking for the speed of trees. Tree.
Ellis Paul with the title song from his new album, The Speed of Trees. Ellis, you're going zen there on us. Help us understand, is the speed of trees fast going by the window of a car at night, or is it slow, planted, as you say here, your love makes me move at the speed of trees, and you've got yourself planted in this song, you've got yourself at all kinds of speeds. What's the speed of trees?
Well, it's about laying down roots and holding still, and it's a song about someone who's dreaming of being out of their town and adventuring, and love is what's keeping him rooted, and he's talking about it with the
settling
person he
down.
Loves, and it's an argument to stay and an argument to lay down the roots. And
but he remembers all those other speeds, the sonic boom speed.
Yeah.
Who can forget them? Ellis Paul, you've written in your book Notes from the Road and the songs I sang there, you said there's nothing like being an adopted Southerner. And I'm so thankful that the Civil War is long over and that these good people have forgiven us enough to allow us to play them our songs and their songs. You spent a lot of time in Oklahoma, as you said, with Woody Guthrie's legacy and family. How is it for a northern Maine kid to move into the sound and songs of the South? How have you found them influencing your life and work?
Well, the music of the South is a lot different than the music, especially of New England songwriters. We're a very literate bunch. We play in quiet coffee houses and sip our cappuccinos, and they play in bars down there and get in fights and sing stuff that's a little more, you know, a little less wordy, maybe a little bit more folky, a little bit more the three-chord variety. Mm-hmm. And the simplicity of the language has definitely infected my work and getting away from being so poetic that you need a magnifying glass and an abacus to figure out what the hell I'm talking about. You know, I like to be more direct now and more conversational in the songs. And I think that has a lot to do with traveling around and having those people that I've met along the way kind of influence what I'm playing and writing about.
Ellis Paul, you're a troubadour, your eyes and ears and song on the American scene. How are we doing? A year on from all that, you're all over this country, north and south.
Yeah.
How are we doing?
I think we're walking wounded a little bit, which is fine because we should be, and we're determined people, and it's nice to see you know, people coming together in a way that they haven't in my lifetime, and I think we're going to get through it. I think it's changed how we look. The century that's coming up is going to be much different than anything that we've ever been through, and time will tell the story, I guess. So you just have to wait and see. But I'm excited to be an artist in this time. I think it's it's important, and especially when we're weighing options of war and peace. And
maybe more war than peace.
Yeah, and I have to find my path and what I believe in it through the music and then share it with people. That's my mission statement, and I hope it works out.
Well, it's working beautifully so far. We're counting on you to be there and doing that.
Well, thank you.
Ellis Paul, thanks so much for joining us tonight. It's been great having you.
Thanks, Tom.
Ellis Paul's new album is The Speed of Trees. Let's go out on a cut from that album, Roll Away Bed. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
A Saturday we wake up, we're driving across town, we're trying to
In a moment, I'll be joined by On Point News analyst Jack Beatty. But first, let's listen back to the sounds from this extraordinary week.
Diplomacy is vital. But when dealing with dictators, and none in the world is worse than Saddam, diplomacy has to be backed by the certain knowledge in the dictator's mind that behind the diplomacy is the possibility of force being used.
The United States government has concluded, based on analysis and specific intelligence of possible attacks on U.S. interests overseas, to call government, law enforcement, and citizens, both at home and overseas, to a heightened state of alert.
But in reality, the Palestinians are victims of terrorism too, especially because of the suicide bombings inside Israel against civilians. They're used to cover up the reoccupation of our cities, the closures, and the use of illegitimate means by the occupying army.
The United States helped found the United Nations. We want the United Nations to be effective and respectful and successful. We want the resolutions of the world's most important multilateral body to be enforced. And right now, those resolutions are being unilaterally subverted by the Iraqi regime.
We accept return of inspectors within the implementation of Security Council resolutions. We do not accept conditions. The United States would like to impose conditions.
Any state, if attacked, retains the inherent right of self-defense under Article 51 of the Charter. But beyond that, when states decide to use force to deal with broader threats to international peace and security, there is no substitute for the unique legitimacy provided by the United Nations.
Salvatore B. Calabro, Joseph Calendrijo, Philip B. Calgano, Edward Calderon.
We here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Vincent S. Morello.
Takashi Ogawa.
May God bless the victims. We love you all. May God bless America.
And there are the sounds of a week without precedent. Tony Blair announcing or addressing the Trade Union Congress in the UK seeking support for military action against Iraq. John Ashcroft announcing a heightened state of security alert. Yasser Arafat saying suicide bombings don't work. President Bush at the UN challenging the UN to act against Iraq. And the Iraqi foreign minister saying bring back inspectors but without conditions. Kofi Annan saying nations must work together to address whatever challenge they face. And there at the end, the anniversary extraordinaire, a montage of sounds from Wednesday in New York. Jack, it's been a week of emotion and remembrance for all of us. You shared those emotions and that remembrance in New York City.
Yes, my wife Lois and I were there, and it was an unforgettable experience. Governor Pataki, in quoting the Declaration of Independence, spoke of government of the people, and by quoting Lincoln, of the people, by the people. But you know, the people, strangely enough, were locked out of the events. There was a screen around the entire site. Crowds were kept hundreds of yards beyond that. There were no loudspeakers to tell us what was going on. And in our thousands, we stood there helpless with our emotions and unable to express them. It's as if in America today, things take place for television, and the crowd, the people, the public, is just an irrelevance, beside the point.
They're welcome electronically, but on the ground, maybe not so easily.
On the ground, and yet people stood there, and there were 300 firemen there from Bend, Oregon, who couldn't get in, and there were firemen from Europe and so on, still couldn't get in. Still, images of the day, I saw a very frail Japanese woman bending over on a wall and in Japanese calligraphy putting a sentiment on the wall. I saw, I think I'm the first to report that an extraordinary gesture, the city of New York, and it's the flags, the 91 flags it had around the park at Bowling Green, included the flags of Cuba and Iran, because they lost people in the World Trade Center. An ecumenical gesture, a gesture to say death unites us beyond ideological divisions.
And now we're off to war, it appears, Jack, a familiar kind of war, not the unfamiliar war on terror, but maybe tanks and troops soon in Iraq.
Yes, tanks and troops and urban fighting. The Iraqis have planned that. They're going to fall back on the cities, from what I've read, and fight it out there. And so, we're going to have the extraordinary case of a president who was selected. A selected president is going to put more Americans in harm's way than any other president since Vietnam. That's an extraordinary development.
A development, though, at the moment that seems to have a lot of support from the American people.
Yes, yes, it does. And you could feel that at this rally, at this occasion. People would yell out, USA, USA, and the chant would be taken up, but then it would die down. And I heard one man say, it just doesn't seem appropriate with all these families around and dead people. And the country was stricken, and it wants to lash out at whoever did it. There's not much evidence that Saddam did it, but the president is keen to just sort of amalgamate the war on terror into this, as you say, more conventional war on an opponent armed with poison gas and biological weapons.
Jack, thanks for sharing the week with us. We're off into a new chapter, it seems.
Thank you.
On Point is produced by Micheline Boudreau, Meghna Chakrabarty, Eileen Imada, Kelly Jones, John Roberts, James Ross, Keith Shields, Karen Schiffman, and Tim Skog, with special help in New York City this week from Nate DeMeo and John Marston. Our senior producer is Graham Griffith. Thank you for being with us this week. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
This is WBUR.